question number 11222, rule 2.
Mr. Woods, rule 2. What other things do you remember doing aboard the Foxhound?
When we got back to Greenock Harbour, we had a Liberty boat go ashore for a short leave, and our motor boat turned over on its way back and drowned, and the crew was lost, and the Liberty men were lost. And I think it was a day after that when a Free French destroyer in the harbour blew itself up accidentally. Apparently they fired a torpedo tube while it was fore and aft, and there was a safety lock had gone up the wall or something like that, and accidentally fired it into their fore mess deck, and the whole ship was ablaze and burning like the ships at Narvik, actually. And I was in the lifeboat, went to help, and all we could do was circle the ship, and we could do nothing else. And our doctor and a few more doctors, I think, off different ships, all they could do was go around the ship, and the hand and some of the arms was out the portholes trying to get out, and all they could do in some cases was inject them with a fatal dose and put them out of their misery. And we returned to the ship not being actually, you know, able to save anybody at all. I think they lost all hands. I'm absolutely sure they lost all hands. And those two incidents happened in Greenock.
That was soon after you came back from Narvik.
Yes.
When did you leave the Foxhound?
I was going to.
You were going to say something about the QE1, were you?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes. We was assigned as an escort. The ship was our chummy ship was a Fire Drake, the Foxhound Fire Drake, to escort the QE1 on a maiden voyage. She'd only been launched in 1940. And we took her, I think it was about 800 miles into the Atlantic, which was considered out of the range of U-boats. We was quite surprised. We knew that we'd escort a special ship. And it was at night, when we woke at in the morning, we discovered it was a Queen Elizabeth passenger liner. And she went to America and did trooping for the Far East and so forth.
What did she look like?
Oh, she looked like a wonderful, great big liner, you know, which she was, really. And it was a job that we relished because it was, you know, away from the battle sort of thing, you know, this occasion.
I think there's one final duty that Foxhound did whilst you were on her that you haven't mentioned, concerning HMS Nelson.
Yes, we was assigned to escort the big battleship Nelson around the Portsmouth. It seems that she had struck a bubble mine and had minor damage, and we was quite happy about this because we went to Portsmouth with her, escorted her, with the Fire Drake, Foxhound Fire Drake, and we got a night's leave in London, so we were very pleased, and went to see a couple of days after that.
I think Nelson was mined off the west coast of Scotland, wasn't she?
Yes, I'm sure she was, yeah, because we had to escort around, yeah. We didn't know exactly where it happened because we was only detailed as the escort. Another incident I forgot to mention was that when in Greenock Harbour, we had half the ship's company ashore, and I happened to be aboard, and we had an alarm that a U-boat was trying to get into the boom at Greenock. We got underway with a depleted ship's company, and we depth charged. We got in contact with this U-boat and we depth charged her, and we was told afterwards that wreckage and bodies had floated up from it, so and then we know we've got a kill. But to fire our depth charges, the skipper had to swing round and put his bow on the beach, and what happened was, it was quite a funny incident really, that the skipper over the intercom said, "I want all ship's company on the deck, on the quarter deck, to jump." And one of my messmates was running up with me, alongside me, to get onto the quarter deck, and he was blowing his life belt up. And he said to me, "Which side are you going to jump?" I said, "I ain't going to jump any side." He said, "He wants you to jump up and down on the deck, you see." And we jumped up and down on the deck, and eventually he went full belt astern, and we got off. And
so this was to try to rock the ship.
Yes, the idea was that he went full belt astern, and he wanted all the ship's company to jump up and down to vibrate the ship and get her off. It succeeded in the end, and we thought we was very badly damaged, and we went as follows on to some, another story really. We went into Barclay and Coles dock at Glasgow, Partick Glasgow. Barclay and Coles was the name of it. Went into there and they give us a overhaul, and the skipper said, "Well," he said, "I think there's a bit of leave in store for us," and he said, "I'm going to send the starboard watch on 5 days leave for a start, and you'll be sent an extension that when you're at home, you know, if there's any to come, you know." And as it turns out, we returned on the appointed time, and the others, I don't think they got any leave at all, because there was hardly any damage, and we went back to sea, and I don't think they got any at all, and we was lucky. We got 5 days, expecting, you know, to get more.
Which year would this have been when you made this attack in Greenock?
This was in 40. It was after we returned, you know, from Narvik.
Would it be summer or autumn or what?
It was summer. I believe it was summer. I'm absolutely sure of it. I think it was summer.
Now, I think later on you served on HMS Mauritius.
Mauritius, yes.
Can you tell me about her, what kind of a ship she was?
Yeah, she was a cruiser of about 5,000 to 6,000 tons, wasn't it? It was 5,000 or 6,000 tons. And she was built as an anti-invasion craft, really. And she was built on the Tyne, Newcastle. I had to go to Newcastle to join her. And our first job was to take a huge convoy with hospital ships, nurses, the lot, troops, out to, we assumed, designed for the Far East, you know, reinforcements. We put into Freetown, after we dropped our convoy, and funny part about it was that I remember going out to the canteen and drinking their lukewarm beer, and after the war we discovered that in that area they was picking up diamonds underneath the trees, and native women were getting rich overnight, right in that area. We had to go through a African village called King Tom Village, and we had to go through this village, and to the canteen, and it was only for a couple of hours leave, and after that we put into Simonstown in South Africa. And when we tied up alongside, we saw two big dogs, big mastiffs, dogs. And they come aboard the ship and sat on the gangway. And we found out afterwards that one was A.B. useless and the other one was leading seaman nuisance. And it was made a great play even after the war in the South African papers. And these two mastiffs, or Great Danes they were, I'm sorry, Great Danes, they would only go to a matlow. They wouldn't go to any other uniform. And as we, there's underground, or subway tube, as we went up to Cape Town for a bit of leave, and these dogs would get straight on the train with us. And I was, sometime after that, I was a couple of friends, we were walking along one of the high streets in Cape Town, and there was a lady came over and she said, "Good Lord," she said, "I've heard about those dogs," she said, going to the sailors and nobody else. She said, I couldn't believe my eyes. She said, when them dogs crossed over, ignored the soldiers and everybody else, and joined up with us. And we had a job to get rid of them after that. But that was my memories of Cape Town. That's why.
Did you give them anything? Any food or anything?
But the dogs? Yeah. Oh, we fed them on the ship, yes. And I've actually seen those two dogs scrap on the station with jealousy, because if one dog tried to go with one set of sailors, they're absolutely jealous. I see them actually attack one another,
Did they seem to belong to anybody?
I don't know who they belong to. I don't know who they belong to.
They were just roaming free.
Yes, they were roaming free. They probably had an owner, but. I remember reading in the paper, some years afterwards, that these two dogs had died, and that story was, there was a story about the actual facts that I'm saying,
When would this convoy have been? Would it have been before or after the Japanese came into the war?
Oh, it's before. Yes, it's before. It was. It was about. Back then, to 41, I would say. Yeah, it was before that. Because Pearl Harbor was what? 40?
December 41.
December 41. Yes, it was before that. Definitely before that. It must have been. Must have been in the middle, I would say. Middle of 41. And, I think there were reinforcements for Singapore around there, But the Pearl Harbor was before that, was it? Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor was December 41.
December 41.
Do you remember any of the other ships in the convoy?
We was on our own, as far as I can remember. Oh, it must have been destroyers there, I would think. No, I don't think there was, actually. I don't remember any others. We must have had escorts out of home waters because of U-boats. But after that, I remember that the skipper cleared lower deck one day, and he said, "I didn't alarm the ship's company," he said, "but only yesterday two major German units crossed our path. And he said, make no mistake about it, lads, he said, I was prepared to go in with all guns firing, you know. He said, but I didn't alarm you about it at the time, because it was only a chance, slim chance, that we would make contact with them. I always remember the hospital ships, the nurses waving, you know, waving to the... I'm not absolutely sure about that, but I'm sure that we were alone. But then that doesn't seem possible, really, when you consider there were still raiders. Because the Bismarck had got out at one time, hadn't it? I'm not absolutely sure about that, but I know we was there anyway.
The Bismarck got out in May 41.
Yes.
Where did you go to after Simonstown?
We went. I'd picked up a bag, and they thought I had an ulcer. And at Trincomalee, I was posted ashore. And I missed the ship after that. I went into hospital at Colombo and missed the ship. And eventually they sent me home on the SS Sagan, Canadian Pacific Line, which we had all the comforts of a merchant ship.
Sagan?
HMS Sagan, yeah.
How do you spell it?
Sagune, I believe it was.
Now, jumping ahead, I think you served on HMS Campbell on the east coast of Britain.
Yes.
What was HMS Campbell?
She was a destroyer. She was about 1,400 tons. She carried 47 breech loading guns, and she carried a radar. And we was engaged on east coast convoys, e-boat patrol, and we used to leave Sheerness. We was based on Sheerness. We used to leave at dusk, go to sea at dusk, and we had excellent stages all night chasing the U-boats. And I was on the star shell gun, on B gun, which is a star shell gun, which was illumining the target. Once we got the pip on the spot, so we fired the star shell, which illumined the sea beneath, and they were pretty nippy, and they used to get away, though we used to open fire, and barely time to open fire on the targets. And then we did, I think it was a place we did the East Coast convoy. We used to put in Immingham, I think it was Immingham, was the port. Hull was the, Grimsby, was it Grimsby? Oh, I'm not sure which.
They're all on the Humber.
Yeah, we used to sometimes occasionally get a couple of hours leave, you know, down to... I'm sure it was Grimsby, I'm sure it was. And we used to get a couple of hours leave now and again, you know, and then we used to go back on convoy duties. I'm not sure which ship I did a Russian convoy on, whether it was a Campbell or the Foxhound.
On the East Coast work that you did, did you ever hear of e-boats tying up to buoys? To ambush ships?
No, we didn't. We didn't hear. We'd heard they'd put up some tricky schemes to try and entice us to them, you know. But in the end, they had it weighed off quite well, you know. They'd attack the ship in the channel, and time you got a bearing on them with our radar and fired a star shell, you know, they was away in most cases. I think I only saw about a couple of e-boats actually looming, you know, the light, but they were away so fast.
Was the Campbell hit during these convoys?
The camera wasn't hit, no.
Did you have any attacks from enemy planes?
Not on the Campbell, no.
Now, the Arctic convoy that you mentioned, I think, must have been on the Campbell rather than the Foxhound, because
yeah.
Russia didn't come into the war till 41.
No.
And you were on the Foxhound before that, I think.
Yes, yes.
What do you remember about the Arctic convoy on the Campbell?
I remember the, you know, the ships we had, I would think about 40 merchant ships, and it was one continual zigzag the whole of the journey. And during that time we was, you know, buzzing around them like terriers around sheep all the time, you know, and getting them into their positions when they strayed. And now and again we'd get an alarm, and we'd use our depth charges, and we got no major alarms as far as I can remember, and we took the whole of the convoy got through as far as I can remember.
Was it in the winter or the summer?
It was winter time, I believe, because it was, I know the, you know, the yard arms and everything else was covered in ice, of course, and it was really cold. And I always remember saying, you know, to one of the chaps, you know, well, you needn't worry if you go in there, because you'll be dead in a few seconds, you know, it's so cold.
Did you hit any of the U-boats in the depth charging that you did on that Arctic convoy?
We assumed that we did, but we weren't absolutely sure, because a huge shoal of cod, I understand, give back the same echo as a U-boat. So we slaughtered many, many tons of fish, among them being huge cods about 8-10 foot long, you know, and the sea was covered with dead fish every time we depth charged. Now, some of the boys thought they'd like a fish supper, you know, and tried to hook one aboard, but to no avail, and nobody's going to stop. yes, it was something I'd never seen before in my life, you know, so many tons of ship of fish on the surface.
Did you go ashore in Murmansk?
No. We wasn't allowed.